That is what we are to do, and that's what we will do. When we have a life worth living, we'll be growing in the knowledge of God. Notice something else that will happen. Our weaknesses are fortified. That's right. When you walk with the Lord, when He's your friend, and when these things are unfolding in your life, verse 11 says, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Wow, take a look at that. Being strengthened, that's the word dunamai. Actually, this form is dunamumenoi, which is a present participle which indicates continuous action. They're continuing to be strengthened with all power. You know, I think sometimes we think that God gives believers an initial boost to get off the launching pad and then kind of lets you fly on your own. Nothing could be further from the truth. Not at all. But let me ask you, are you basically flying through life on your own? Are you just relying on yourself? Remember what Paul said? He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, continually strengthens. And so Paul prays for these believers. This is a consequence of swimming in the will of God. This is a consequence of having a life worth living, a worthy life. And that is to be strengthened. Notice, according to His glorious might. Another word, might, means strength and action. And by the way, God has an inexhaustible supply of might. Now unto Him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that you can ask or imagine, according to the power that is working in you, Paul says. Really? That power is available to me. You know what this means? It means that there's no tragedy. There's no problem. There's no burden. There's no crisis that you and I can face that is greater than the power of God within us to meet it and face it. That's what it means. In fact, our Lord told the disciples that they would receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon them, power to make them witnesses to the world. Friend, you can be strengthened by the Holy Spirit inside of you. In your inner person, in your inner being, God can pour His power into you. Let me tell you a story, true story. Leah, she had asked her husband to attend church with her, but he had refused one more time. Her daughter's family and son's family were growing spiritually, but what about their father? It seemed that he had more excuses than you could shake a stick at. And the last excuse to keep him from coming to church was that he had to stay home and watch the little granddaughter while everybody else went to church. So once again, in a very sweet spirit, Leah asked, Frank, will you go to church with me? And suddenly Frank responded, I'll tell you what, Leah, if you quit smoking for 30 days, then I'll go to church with you. And he sat back with the biggest grin on his face, feeling so relieved and so secure. I mean, he knew that they had tried every program known to man to help her stop smoking, to no avail. And so he was safe one more time, but he didn't count on this. Here was a woman with a desperate need. And the issue was the salvation of her husband. And she knew the challenge was too great for her to handle alone, so guess what she did? She got on her face, and she began to pray, and I mean pray seriously, even to the point of fasting and seeking God's face. 30 days went by. Day 31, with a smile on her face, she came to collect. She gave testimony to her husband who all the programs could not do, God had done in response to believing prayer. And now she wanted Frank to go to church. He did. And soon afterward, he publicly committed his life to follow Jesus Christ. And I had the privilege of being in the baptismal pool with both of them. God answers prayer, my friend. He really does. Our weaknesses can be fortified. See what happened? She was strengthened in her inner being, and the power of God helped her to overcome. Why did Paul want the Christians to have this kind of power? Why did he pray this, that you might be strengthened with all power according to his inexhaustible supply of might? Why? So that you could do great miracles. So that you would be wealthy and wise and famous. No. Look at what the Bible says. Why? So that, I'm in verse 11. You ought to see this. Why do I need God's power? Why do I want it? So that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Whoa. Let me tell you why. The fourth thing that happens when you have a life worth living and God answers this prayer in your life is that our witness reveals His joy. Our witness reveals His joy. Well, how does it do that? So that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Endurance is a Greek word, hupomone, underneath, to bear. It means to bear up under difficult things, circumstances, situations. That's endurance, things, tough times. Patience, macrothumia, a long time to boil, is always used toward people. Things, people. Circumstances, people. Endurance, patience. I wonder how many of you in your lives right now are wrestling with some things. Things. Can I see anybody else? Endurance. God's power. I wonder how many of you might be just dancing with some difficult people. People. Let me see your hands. Anybody else? People. Patience to deal with those difficult people. God's power? Yeah. Now let me ask you this. In the middle of those circumstances that are beating you up, in the middle of that relationship that is not real nice, can you see yourself joyfully giving thanks to the Father? Wouldn't that be an incredible witness? Wouldn't that be an amazing victory? Wow. That's what James says. He says, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials and testings, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work so that you may be complete and mature. That's the way we grow up, knowing God's power. Wow. I think of one of my dear friends. He's a director here at Shelter Cove, one of our elders. He was mugged, carjacked, beaten up in a downtown garage just a few weeks ago. He was in our Saturday night service, sitting right over there about where you are, Eric. Had his two crutches there, still got a little black eye, stitches over his eye. Somebody came up behind him, grabbed him, beat him up, broke his leg, stole his car. You know what? He joyfully giving thanks to God. I mean, he told me the other day, he said, Pastor David, he said, I'm so thankful that God got me working out starting in February. Not only did I lose 15 to 20 pounds, he said, I've gained muscle tone, and God must have known that I would have needed this. And I'm so grateful that he got me in shape. I'm just sitting there going, huh? And besides that, this man needs Jesus, and I'm praying that he'll come. Huh? Man, what a witness. Endurance? Yeah. Patience? Yeah. Joyfully giving thanks to the Father? Hey, how precious that kind of faith is. Faith that enables you to endure with joy. That's what you need God's power for. You know, again and again, the Scripture tells us a simple faith is the way to get our prayers answered. There's nothing too hard for God to do in answer to the cry of believing prayer in Jesus' name. Have you heard of the childless couple who with joy prayed, Lord, bless us too, and that will do? Or the old bachelor, he prayed, Lord, bless only me, that's as far as I can see. And then there's the lady who reported joyfully raising 12 children, all of which had been born to her since she was 32. And she hadn't even worried about getting a husband whom she met and married at age 31. You want to know how she got a husband? She got a pair of men's pants. And she hung them over the foot of her bed. And she got down on her knees and she prayed, "Father in heaven, hear my prayer and grant it if you can. I've hung a pair of trousers here. Please fill them with a man." Now, I know that some of you ladies probably wouldn't even think about praying for something like that. But I say to you, what confidence, what trust in prayer. Why? Why can we go to God with our real needs, the desires of our heart? Why? Because of the confidence that we have, all because of Christ Jesus. That's why. Only Him, only Christ. He's made the way. He's opened the door. He's put us in relationship with our Heavenly Father. Look with me at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He's brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Just the other day at the gym, early in the morning, one man asked me, "David," he said, "why do you think we worry so much? Why do we worry and fret so much?" And we discussed it a little bit and we concluded it's because we do not pray and trust the Lord enough. That's why. Beloved, you can live with a confidence. And all of this, however, because of Jesus Christ, period. You can have a settled assurance in your life. You can have a peace in your life because of Christ. Now, I want you to see four things quickly that this confidence is based on. Number one, He's received us into His family as heirs. That's what the Bible says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance. You know, there's only one way to be qualified for a coming inheritance. You've got to be in the family. The way you get in God's family is you got to be born into it or adopted into it through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. An inheritance is not given to those who go out and work for it. It's given to those who are children. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become a child of God. You got to be in the family to be qualified. God causes unqualified unbelievers through the power of the Holy Spirit in the world to become believers who are then qualified, made sufficient. Before, Paul says, we were enemies of God. We were not entitled to anything. Nothing. But then God chose to give us an inheritance. There's a passage in Genesis chapter 48. I'd like to remind our president and all of you. Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and there God Almighty blessed me. And God Almighty said to me, 'I'm going to make you fruitful and will increase your numbers, and I will make you a community of peoples, and I will give this land as an everlasting possession to your descendants after you.'" That's an inheritance. My friend, in the same way, to every single believer, God has qualified you, and He's going to apportion you a part of the inheritance. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Are you going to get one, beloved? Are you? Say yes or no.
Yes.
Oh my! He's qualified you. Number two, He's rescued us from darkness. The Bible says He's rescued us from the dominion. That's the word authority. From the authority of darkness. Does the darkness have authority in your life still? You can come to Christ, but you've got to learn how to walk in the dominion of the King, not the enemy. The authority. And God is the one who rescues. He takes us out of the darkness so that we can begin to see things clearly. Darkness. It kind of has an ominous tone of doom, doesn't it? Yeah. It refers to the spiritual realm where evil reigns. And those who are in darkness are without salvation. But when you as a believer are delivered from the domain and authority and power of Satan, you are transferred into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. And that's the third thing that gives us confidence. And that is that He has redeemed us from our bondage. He has brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption. He's made us citizens of a brand new kingdom so that now we can have access to everything we need. A believer is given a new position as a child of the King and a complete pardon for all sin. I want to remind you what the word redemption really means. Redemption is a word that you used of prisoners of war. And that someone would have to make a deal and pay a ransom to release a prisoner of war. Friend, if you're here as an unbeliever today, you're not saved. You've never received and surrendered to Jesus Christ. You're a prisoner of the dominion of darkness. But I want you to understand that there is one who came who paid the ransom for your release. His name is Jesus. That's right, Jesus. It means a redemption from the wrath and the punitive justice of Almighty God. And this redemption can only be accomplished by forgiveness, which is the fourth thing that gives us settled assurance, peace with God, a confidence. And that is that He has released us from our sins, in whom we have redemption. What is that? The forgiveness of sins. By His blood, He's redeemed us so that we know our sins are forgiven. We've been given a pardon, if we'll take it. Do you know that it was this claim that led ultimately to our Lord Jesus' crucifixion? The claim to forgive sins. You say, really? Oh, yeah. Let me take you back to one of my favorite places. It's right around the Sea of Galilee. And it's on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee in a little city called Capernaum. It was the center of Jesus' ministry in that whole area. He did a lot of miracles in Capernaum. Amazing miracles. One of the ones that stands out to all of us is when Jesus was teaching in this house, it was just packed. Couldn't get anybody else in. I mean, the doorway was packed and they were all there and Jesus was teaching. But these four guys had this friend. And they knew that if they could get him in front of Jesus. And so they took him on a stretcher up to the top of the roof, tore open the roof, lowered their friend in front of Jesus. You know what the Bible says? When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." The scribes whispered to each other, "Who does he think he is? What blasphemy! Only God can forgive sins." They were right. God in human flesh had appeared before them, and He was claiming the ability to forgive sins. And to prove it, He told the guy to get up, walk out of here. And he did that. All these, my friend, give us confidence. Our inheritance, our deliverance from the authority of darkness. My friend, you don't have to let darkness continue to have authority in your life. When you are transferred into that kingdom, redemption, forgiveness, all components of salvation, all available because God the Father sent His Son. Do you know Him? You know, oftentimes at the end of a television program, you'll see the sponsoring organizations listed, you know. This program was made possible by Coca-Cola or by Ford or someone. And in your mind and heart as a believer, you need to see that the power in this prayer to bring the kind of change that we've been talking about is made possible and sponsored only by Jesus Christ. Only by Him, nothing else. No other false concepts, nothing. All these blessings are only found in Christ. What an amazing way to live, a life worth living. What a prayer. How can you personally experience this? To be filled up to overflowing with the experiential knowledge of God's will so that wherever you walk, you're swimming in the will of God. Well, think about it. Answer these questions. Am I willing to be engulfed with God's will? Or do I simply want help in making a hard decision? Have I agreed with God in advance that I will do His will even before He shows me what it is? Oh, that's necessary. Am I ready for my life to change if that's what needs to happen? To swim in God's will. You see, when you yield your agenda to His control, His purposes become your purposes. And when that happens, our lives are radically changed from the inside out. And we begin to set out on purpose to please God in everything we do. Lord, would this business deal, I want it to be pleasing to You. Father, this time with my family, I want everything we do. And suddenly we become difference makers in this world. We're involved in God's agenda, which means we're doing more than just taking up space until we die. Life now has meaning. We have a reason to get out of bed every morning on earth because we're linked with God in the kingdom work on this earth. Beloved, it's true. God has given all of us a secret weapon. It was Francis Thompson that said this. He said, prayer is the very sword of the saints. I mean, just bear with me. If this is true, then why in the world would we leave our sword in the scabbard? What good will it do? My friend, when you take it out of the scabbard and you realize, I don't even know how to hold this thing. Prayer. And you wade in and you begin like a little child. And pretty soon you, okay. And then you learn how to hold it. And you start to learn how to use it. Wow. Will you pull the sword, the secret weapon of prayer, out of its scabbard in your life? You know, to pray for someone else like Paul did with this prayer. That is an act of hidden kindness that only God sees. But God sees it. And now we even know how to pray. We know how to use this secret weapon. And because God alone sees your heart, my friend, He's going to hear your prayer. He's going to reward you in secret. And in fact, let me tell you something. We can touch people through prayer, but we can't touch any other way. God gave you a secret weapon so that by prayer in secret, you can change the world.